A recent edition of the Washington Post looked at the reason why protesters at the University of Missouri campus might not want media around. The article by Terrell Jermaine Starr examines the legitimate gripes the Black community has with mainstream media, which I think are also fair. Can each of you share your thoughts on how sort of indie or community-oriented media can complement, influence, or maybe avoid some of those mistakes that mainstream media that we see in mainstream media? Carmen, I'll start with you.
You know, it kind of, that reminds me of the way in which Black people, particularly in police brutality cases, are portrayed. And I think, you know, right now what's happening with the universities, at the university at Yale and Mizzou is, you know, I think, again, is taking back your own narrative and telling your own story. You know, we're constantly have it. There's what's called character assassination. With particularly Michael Brown, Eric Garner, all these individuals who have been killed at the hands of police. But for us, in the work that we do at Justice League, I think, you know, trying not to re-traumatize and share those videos, but actually provide solutions is really key for us, and hold press conferences. But I think we also need the mainstream media to work with us and to share the right information, because we can't just speaking to each other. We can't continue to speak to each other in isolation. But I know that a lot of the folks that are covering in community are actually really wanting to tell a different story about that community. And if it's not being done by mainstream media, then they're going to take it upon themselves to do that.
Brandon, what are you thinking in terms of that relationship between mainstream media and sort of that citizen journalism genre?
I'm going to run the risk of being a bit more controversial.
Go right ahead.
Because I think that I agree with everything that Carmen's saying, and I think that it's incredibly important that citizen journalists, particularly in this day and age where there is just so many things happening and local stories become global stories so quickly, that there's no step in between. You know, it used to be, in theory, the way it worked, not saying that all stories were brilliant 20 years ago, but, you know, you used to have local journalists that kind of knew what was going on. And then if that story got picked up by the AP, they picked up the copy from the local journalist. And then it went from the local paper to the regional paper to, you know, the regional TV channel. From the regional TV channel, they did a story with some local context on it that then got pushed national. Right now, we have a local story that goes from a local tweet to CNN in Zimbabwe, and there's no context whatsoever. So that speed has, I think, removed even some of the beneficial checks and balances that mainstream media used to rely on. And so now you have global media reacting in real time to local events with zero connection to real events. So citizen journalism must step into that void. But this is the part that I'll be more controversial on. And it's not an answer I have, so I want to pitch it as a question. Where does the line get drawn between citizen journalists or community-led journalists and fringe journalism? And by that, we used to define a community by regionality. And now with digital connection, we define community by a certain identity or a certain belief structure or a certain viewpoint. And when you have a certain viewpoint defining the way that somebody is giving journalism and speaking to an echo chamber within that community, you run a real risk of getting away from spreading the truth and focusing more on spreading an ideology. And that cuts all ways. That cuts to the people that are behind the Paris attacks, and that cuts to what we would probably, I think, in this room, it looks like a pretty liberal room, to say that, you know, pushing back in the Ferguson incidents and things like that and getting the truth out, it can work incredibly well and incredibly positively, but it's also on that fine line that we have to worry about as we embrace that. Where does it go?
That is an interesting perspective.
Sorry.
No, I'm as you're speaking and as you're talking, I'm thinking about the conundrum in journalism, this idea of objectivity and what is truth. To quote Stephen Colbert, truthiness. And I think we're living in a time where we really have to deal with those very important questions. Jackie, I want to get your thoughts on this question too, especially given what you do with Witness, and where are you on this spectrum of citizen journalism?
Well, I mean, it's definitely something we believe very strongly in, but because Witness is a human rights organization and not necessarily a journalistic media outlet, we're very much following the principle of do no harm. And so when we're training our partners or providing training resources, we're always encouraging people to do no harm. And sometimes that even means don't get the story if it puts somebody at risk of either re-victimization or being targeted within their community. So I think some of the ways that we try to educate people around this is ensuring that they understand what informed consent and are seeking that from it, and understand what informed consent is and are seeking that from subjects, and also not just the yes, I consent to being a part of this interview, but that they fully understand what the interview is about, where it's going to be used, and how it's going to be used. I think that's a really important aspect of it. I also think that just providing some general guidance around how to use citizen journalism for journalists is really important. So it's not just, oh, I see a tweet of somebody who's at the scene and they have this really graphic picture and I'm going to share it because it's going to draw the most attention to my media outlet. I think this can be really damaging, A, for the media outlet, because there's always the chance that that image is not accurate, and it can also be damaging for the person who captured that media, the eyewitness, because it can expose their identity. And there's still this sense that people have that, oh, I captured something really dramatic or really awful, I need to put it online right now. And we're seeing that start to backfire. There's a lot of research about eyewitnesses who have captured media, posted it on their Facebook page, and then instantly become a target by the social media communities, but also by police or authorities. Mm-hmm. And this can be really dangerous. It's something we saw even with Ramsey Orta, who captured the video of Eric Garner, and he's since been persecuted by the Staten Island Police and NYPD, and it's had a very damaging effect on his life. So we're trying to encourage people to share stories in a way that's safe and comfortable. And one other point that kind of brings it back to the initial question about citizen journalism is I think it's really key that people are telling their own stories, and that it's not like a big media outlet or even a small media outlet with the best of intentions coming in and saying, we're here to tell your story. It's the people who are most directly impacted who should be speaking.